And give you a message the Lord has laid on my heart tonight, and just really trying to mind the Lord. Message like this on a Wednesday night, don't always understand what the Lord's trying to do, but I do know that this message has been on my heart the past few days, and even studied other things, trying to prepare what, in my mind and my heart would be a more fitting message for a Wednesday night and for getting ready for Bible conference. I mean, it's just, next service we're here, it'll be Bible conference and all those things. And so, but just kept this, just this thought and this this message really just kept, the Lord just kept seeming to put it before me and putting it on my heart. And so I just want to try to mind God tonight and give you what the Lord has given to me. And so we're in Deuteronomy chapter 24, and I'll not ask you to stand. We're just going to read one verse here, and I'm going to give you the message the Lord's put on my heart, and then we'll try to have a time of prayer maybe after at the end of the service, especially for Bible conference and things like that. And then also we've got a few things left to do around here, obviously cleaning and things like that, and kind of give some time to get some of those things finished up. And so Deuteronomy chapter number 24 and verse number 8, we'll start there. He says, "Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do." Verse number 9, "Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt." And I'm interested especially in verse number 9. That'd be my text verse. We'll start off there, where he says, "Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam." And I want to give you this thought, preach to you a message the Lord's put on my heart tonight on remember Miriam. Remember Miriam. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for letting us be in your house once again, and Lord, for bringing your people together. And Lord, it's been good already. Lord, we just kind of opened up the service with some good singing and good worship, and I thank you for how you've stirred my heart already tonight. And Lord, just the refreshing nature that it is just being in the house of God with your people, and Lord, singing old-time hymns unto you. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we try to preach your word and deliver the burden of our heart tonight that you've given to me. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us all to receive with meekness and gladness the engrafted word, Lord, that we might be wise. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, I thank you for our church. And Lord, I thank you for those that you have added to it this year. And Lord, I look forward to what you're going to do the rest of the year. Look forward to what you're going to do in the Bible conference. We pray your blessings upon it. But Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Father, that, Lord, you would bless us and you would grow our church and help us to be drawn closer to you in these days. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Periodically in Scripture, every now and then, God exhorts us to remember certain events or certain people. There'll be some event recorded or something about somebody's life, and then later on in the Scripture, God will call our remembrance, and He'll specifically say or specifically exhort us, or in this case Israel, which would also apply to us, exhorts us to remember that event or that happening or whatever took place. A pretty good example of that would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a situation that happened in the Old Testament, and we all know the story of there. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and went down the city, and the sin of Sodom was great before God, and the sin came up before God, and because of the sin of Sodom and sodomy, and of course many other sins, the Bible lines out. God destroys that city with fire and brimstone. And then later in the New Testament, God recorded again and talked about, basically exhorts to remember, to look back at Sodom, because he said they were set up as an ensample. He said that is an example that, the nations that do the same thing they did, same thing's going to happen to them. And so that's a good example. And then another one's right here in our verse. Now, I'll say this, that when God repeats himself or tells you or me specifically to remember something, We better pay attention. If God said it one time, that'd be enough. I preached last night in the jail. Me and Boozer went over to the jail, and I preached out of Psalms on atheism, or the atheist. Preached a whole message on atheism. Over there in the Psalms, he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That is one of those verses that is repeated twice. It's repeated. It's two different times that same verse is repeated itself. And so anytime God repeats himself or tells us to remember something or specifically points something out, it's a good idea for us to really pay attention. Now, all Scripture is given by interpretation, and God doesn't have to say it more than once for it to be true. Amen? But the fact that He would emphasize it, really ought to cause us to zone in and pay close attention to what God is trying to point out to us here. Now, the reason I believe He calls us to remember Miriam is because we're going to deal with this here in just a second, but because of the situation with Miriam is such a severe and such a serious thing. Now again, we've had some added to our church this year, and that's a blessing. And I don't know what all anybody here does or doesn't know about Miriam or about this particular circumstance or what we're going to deal with tonight. Therefore, I want to make sure you know. I especially want our younger ones to know. I mean, we take for granted just because the younger ones have come up in church that they know these things. But listen, I want my children to grow up hearing these things, and I want your children, your grandchildren, to grow up hearing these things, lest they follow the path of Miriam and why. Wind up under the curse of God. Amen? And I don't want our church and I don't want anybody here to wind up under a curse not knowing what God said. Amen? And so He says, remember Miriam. Now here, Israel was told to remember what God did to Miriam. He also said to remember what Amalek did unto Israel a few chapters, or the very next chapter, chapter 25, verse 17, He calls to remember Amalek. And so God calls us to remember certain things. Now, our verse here, verse number 9 of chapter 24, focuses on the exhortation to remember specifically what God did to this person. Miriam. She was punished by God when the Israelites were traveling through the desert. The particular circumstance and some things that happened that caused God's anger and God's wrath to be very much kindled against her and against Aaron because of some things that were done. And God calls His people to remember it lest we fall into the same condemnation and fall under the same curse. Now, I want to give you three different things, three different thoughts, and we're going to turn over to a different passage of Scripture in just a second. But I want to give you three different thoughts on remembering Miriam. Now, think about what God did to Miriam. God punished Miriam very severely. His wrath was kindled against Miriam. And the first thing I want to talk about, I want you to see and want you to know, is the cause of what God did. What God did to Miriam. And what was the cause of that? Well, the cause, and we're going to turn over and look at it here in just a second, but the cause of Miriam's severe punishment and what God did was because she had a bad attitude and a bad mouth against the man of God. Turn back to Numbers chapter 12. This is where the story is recorded, and it's only 16 verses. We'll maybe read about 13 of them just to get the story here. Well, maybe we'll just read the whole chapter. It's not but 16 verses. It's only us here. We got all night, don't we? We're going to, as Brother John Morgan says, we're going to read more Scripture tonight than all of you have read this month. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Have He not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now that's a very important statement there. That's a parenthetical statement. Verse 3 is, but it's very important. Now I want you to note it. I'm going to talk about it in just a second. He was more meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you. I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be, shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. That's the whole chapter of Numbers chapter 12 where this event is covered. And what we find in this chapter is that she, along with her brother Aaron, spoke against Moses. Now, it's interesting to note that in verse number 3, again, the Bible says that Moses was very meek. And it goes beyond saying that he was very meek. It says he was meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. That lets us know that Moses probably had the ability to really drop the hammer on them and to plow deep on them when they were speaking against him. However, he showed true strength by holding his tongue and letting the Lord sort the thing out. A lot of times meekness is viewed as weakness by others. But meekness truly, it actually is true strength. Miriam and Aaron were the ones that were showing weakness because they could not hold their tongue or their criticism for the man of God and what God was trying to do through him. They were jealous and they had a problem dealing with Moses as their authority. And I'm going to deal with that here in just a second. But it started, all this criticizing and all this critiquing started, this speaking against the man of God started by criticizing Moses' marriage. Now, what's interesting about that is he married an Ethiopian woman. And you say, well, what's interesting about that? What's interesting is that God had nothing to say about whether his marriage was right or whether his marriage was wrong. Moses' marriage, right or wrong, was not what kindled God's anger. In other words, even if Moses was in the wrong, God was less angry with him than he was with the ones that were speaking against him. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of people think it's their job to straighten out the man of God whenever he does something they don't like. But God will always be less angry with the man of God, even if he's doing something wrong, than he will the ones who are publicly criticizing and standing against him in a public way and making it known that they are not for and behind the man. God was less angry. God didn't say anything about Moses. Now, you could argue one way or the other whether it was right or wrong for him to do it. But in this situation, God's attention was on Miriam and Aaron. Amen? So whether his marriage was right or wrong, God was angrier with them. Now, again, it started with them criticizing his marriage. That's how it came out. But really, that was not the real reason that they were critical of him. That's not really the real reason that they had a bad attitude and Miriam couldn't hold her tongue towards him. The real reason is that she was questioning whether God spoke only through Moses. See, the marriage thing kind of prompted and pulled out what she was really feeling on the inside. really what they were thinking on the inside. And they were eat up with an attitude problem, having to deal with Moses as their authority. And so it came out in criticizing his marriage, whereas the real reason is that they were questioned the whole time whether God spoke only through Moses at all. You say, well, why would they do that? Well, I think there's a few reasons. I think the Bible gives us a few reasons why they do that. First of all, because of age. Do you know that Miriam was the older sister of Moses? She was the old, as a matter of fact, she was the oldest one in the family. She was at least 12 years older than Moses. And so it could be possible that because she was older than him, she thought she had the right to say whatever she wanted to about him. You know, we get that in our heads sometimes too, you know. Like, we've got a few years under our belt. I've done this for a while. I've been here so long. And here comes some whippersnapper who, you know, thinks he's got it all figured out. And so I'm just going to set him straight and straighten him out. But you better be very careful about that, because if it's God's man, you better be careful about laying your tongue to him. Amen. Whether he's younger or not. Amen. Listen, I don't claim to have everything figured out, and I know that every younger preacher than me didn't have everything figured out either. But listen, I'm not going to lay my tongue and my attitude against them just because someone's younger than me. I want to be very careful, and we all ought to be very careful about that. You know, it's something how a lot of people, they'll have a lot of respect for those men that went before them, and they would never say anything against the man of God. But then a man who's a little bit younger, they just don't view him as much of a man of God. Isn't that right? Makes you wonder if they said the same things about that one that went before him as they do about him. Were they as critical as those men as they are about this one? See, age has a lot to do with that. And I think it had something to do with why Miriam was as critical of Moses. He's just a young whippersnapper and I'm going to straighten him out, you know. So I think age was part of it. I think maybe closeness was part of it. Again, they were close. They were family. It's amazing. A lot of times your family's willing to say that more to you than anybody else is. Isn't that right? But closeness does that anyways. Whether it's family or not, you got a close-knit church or close-knit people. A lot of times if you're not careful, you'll think, well, you've got the right, or I have the right to just, you know, be freer with what I say because we're so close. And I'm just saying, be careful. Remember Miriam. This is my little brother. This is my kid brother. And does God only speak through my kid brother, you know? What about the fact that she had helped Moses? That could have had something to do with it too. See, in her actions as many years before is actually part of what helped Moses be saved from Pharaoh. Did you know that? I mean, you go back and read the story. Her actions helped to save him as a baby. As a matter of fact, Miriam was also part of the reason that got her mother to care for Moses from Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, in those early years, she really was a hero in a lot of ways. She had done a lot of good things, there's no doubt about it. And probably, in the grand scheme of things, Miriam was a good woman. In the grand scheme of things. She was a hero. She had done a lot of things and been a blessing. But the thing is, since she was so influential in getting Moses where he was, maybe she felt like she could say this and get by with it. Because after all, Moses wouldn't even be where he is right now if it wasn't for me. You know, influence really bears very little on this situation here. God's not interested in how much influence anybody has. He's interested in whose hand is on. Number four, status, I think, had something to do with it. The Bible says that she was called a prophetess. Over in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 20, the Bible called her a prophetess, and she became a leader of the women. And so maybe she felt like her status and her influence and just where she was at. You know, God's blessing my ministry too, and I've seen a lot too. And Moses, he just thinks he has all the answers and he's just doing whatever he wants to do. And he thinks we just got to follow him and we're just okay with it, whatever. But listen, I've got a ministry here too, and I've been here long enough too, and I've been around a lot longer than Moses, and I've seen a lot too. And so maybe she thought she could get by. But she had a hard time accepting him as God's man and her authority in her life. Therefore, she voiced her disapproval and made it known that she wasn't behind him. She was not supporting him. You know, it's always a very dangerous thing to voice and make it known publicly, in a public forum, that you are not behind God's man. That's, by the way, that's why Facebook is so dangerous. It's amazing all the things people get real bold about. You know, even talking, and really I think a lot of preachers ought to have better sense on there anyways. They open a lot of these doors anyways for people, but something about that keyboard, man, takes a lot of people's intuitions away, you know, and they just say things they would never say to somebody's face or whatever. I mean, it's just amazing. But I'm just simply saying, it's a really dangerous thing. Amen? It's always got to be careful about voicing disapproval in God's man and what He's doing. You know, any man of God that loves God, loves the Word of God, loves the ministry, loves people, wants to do what's right, any man like that has never once done anything that he didn't think would be a blessing to the ministry and a blessing to the church and move the church forward and move the ministry forward. Listen, isn't that what Moses was doing? I mean, Moses wasn't a perfect man, but Moses had a heart for God. He was always wanting to move God's people forward. Amen? Now, she voiced her disapproval, made it known she wasn't behind him, and it didn't go unnoticed by God. Now, she may have thought she could get by, but God noticed. And again, whether or not Moses was right or wrong in what he was doing in his marriage, it was Miriam that caught the brunt end of the punishment because of her public disapproval and voicing and her attitude against what was going on. So that's the cause of what God did. But I also want you to notice the character of what God did. See, her punishment was very severe. It was severe. She was made leprous instantly. You know, leprosy in this day, outside of a miracle, was an incurable disease, virtually. And it's a picture of sin off of the Word of God. And so God smote her with a deadly disease that was as far as all things considered, outside looking in, outside of God divinely intervening, it would have meant a slow, agonizing, lonely death, and it would have been very severe in the eyes of everyone that saw what happened to her. It was very severe, and it happened instantly. And even though God did heal her later, and thank God that He did. As a matter of fact, this goes back to Moses being the meekest of all on the earth. Listen, that's a mighty good man of God to go ahead and pray that God would take that disease from her. You know what that shows you? That really shows you the heart of a pastor. Amen? That shows the heart of a real man of God, that even when people have spoke against him and people are critical of him and have a bad attitude of what he's trying to do, yet he'll still pray for them. And he'll still go to God on their behalf. And he'll still pray for their family. And he'll still preach to them. And he'll still try to be a blessing to them. I tell you, that shows you the real heart of a man of God. Amen? And so Moses calls out to God and prays, God, lay not this sin to her charge and heal her. And he goes to God and God does heal her. But even though Moses went to God and prayed and God healed her, she was still shut out of the camp for a whole week. Isn't that what happened? That's what he said in verse 14. The Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. Now, that's an interesting point, because this would have been a very embarrassing and humbling experience for Miriam. See, this is what pride does to people. And ultimately, that's what it was. It was pride. Miriam thought she knew more than Moses. Miriam thought she had just as much, you know, reason and just as much voice as Moses. And maybe in a lot of ways, from the natural perspective, she did. But the natural perspective doesn't line up with God's perspective. And so because she got so proud and thought she could say what she want and do what she want and she'd be fine, because, you know, after all, I'm Miriam the prophetess, and I'm older, and I've been down the way longer, and I've been at it longer, and he's my brother and all these things. Pride did this to her, and God certainly knows how to bring us low when we get full of pride. Now, you got a lady here who's a prophetess, leader among the women, sister of the man of God, Moses. I mean, that's what we'd consider a goodly heritage, you know. Raised in a good home, seen God work, seen God move, seen all these things. And now here she is, immediately God has dropped her to the very bottom of society. It didn't get lower than a leper in this day. It didn't get lower than a leper. She immediately went from here, way down to the bottom of society, even kicked out of the camp for 7 days. That would have been a very embarrassing and humbling. See, again, God knows what buttons to push, and He knows how to bring us low. And you know, at the end of the day, I've said this before, and it's true, you really can't find anywhere in the Bible where God humbles us. God can't humble you. He can humiliate you, but only you can humble you. David said, I humbled my soul. I humbled my soul through prayer and fasting. The Bible says, I believe it's in Peter, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt you in due time. So you humble yourself, but God certainly knows how to humiliate you. If you want God to bring you low and let you hit rock bottom, well, just remember Miriam. Remember Miriam. Remember what she did. So the cause of what God did, but then the character of what God did. It was very severe. But then last of all, notice the consequences of what God did. See, God's people had to stay put until her time of separation was over. Notice verse 15 of Numbers 12. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. The entire nation of Israel was held in place and caused to be delayed in their journey because of one person's sin. Because of what she did and the punishment of it, the whole ministry, if you will, was affected. You know, that's why I think this is so important. You know, somebody may say, well, it's not me and it's not my family, so it doesn't affect me. But I want you to know, the sin of other people does affect you. And your sin does affect other people. When listen, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. What we do and how we live affects those around us, and most of all, it affects this ministry. Amen. That's why we preach sin and deal sin. Listen, a lot of what we call hard preaching, you know, I don't know really about why people call it that. And I get what people are talking about when they say that. They talk about hard. But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Right? So that hard preaching people talk about, you know, or tight preaching, or, you know, people use different terminology for it. Really, the reason for it is not for a negative outcome. That's what people are talking about when they call it hard preaching or tight preaching. They're talking about negative preaching. You know, it's real negative. But you know, really, the only negative preaching, even this message, the negative preaching and most of the messages that God gave us were negative. But it's given to have a positive outcome. It's given that we might deal with these things in our own lives and in our church and within the body, that we might have the Spirit of God and the presence of God in our church and in our life. Listen, churches that do not deal with sin and do not deal with these things, they do not have the power and the presence of God. And if something like this, if somebody were to ever get it in their heart, I'm not preaching just because I'm the pastor here. Listen, I'm preaching because I want us to be blessed. Amen. I want God's touch. Listen, the last thing I want in my life or for my family is to go to a church where God's not at. Amen. I don't want you to have to bring your children to a church where God is not at, where the presence of God, I mean, where the preaching's the same and the singing's the same, but the presence of God is not here. Amen. I mean, could you imagine bringing your little boy or your little girl to a church where God's not going to speak to their heart and God's not going to deal with their heart. Listen, and God's not going to draw them to the cross. Listen, they might die lost without God and go to hell, friend. Listen, that's the most important thing in the world. It's a whole lot more important than them getting a new bicycle or them getting the best clothes the world has to offer to impress friends that don't care about them. Amen. I tell you, it's important that we have the presence of God. And this sin could affect the whole ministry. It could affect the whole spirit of the church. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it affected it right here. It held up a whole nation of over 2 million people because of one person speaking against the man of God and having a bad attitude towards the man of God. Our sin certainly does adversely affect others a lot more than we often think it will. And it may not be something that is seen on the outside. A lot of times people think, well, you know, I've done this and nothing was said and nothing was done. And so, you know, God's all right and people are all right and the church is all right and they think they've gotten by. But even though it's unseen immediately, it will be seen eventually. It does affect. And just because it doesn't affect you right away doesn't mean it's not going to affect you and it's not going to be affect others. Because it does affect you, it affects us all because we are a part of the body of Christ. And that's why everything we do in our lives is so important. Listen, I'm not a lord of a pastor. I don't have any interest in lording over people's lives. I have no interest whatsoever. Listen, it was a great day in my life whenever I got a hold of the sweet consolation that I can pillow in my head at night knowing that I preach what God told me to preach and people will do with it what they do with it and I am not responsible for it, amen? But I am responsible to tell you this, that when you hear the truth and you know the truth but you will not obey the truth, God is going to deal with it. You will land yourself under the curse of God. Because if the gates of hell will not prevail against His church, He sure ain't going to let some long-tongued Jezebel do it. He's not going to let some bad attitude church member do it. Amen? I'm just simply saying, we got to remember Miriam. Remember Miriam? It does affect. You know, as you look at the Word of God, God has never blessed... Never, one time, has God blessed any kind of public stand or public scrutiny of one of His men. What about Korah? Just a few chapters later after Miriam. You thought he'd have remembered Miriam. He just saw it. And then, just like Miriam, he simply just got it in his heart, got in his mind that he just was not going to be okay with the authority of Moses and Aaron. He just couldn't take it, man. I mean, I'm going to do what I want to do. God sure dealt with him. Now again, I'm not talking about some heretic teaching heresy. I'm not talking about some wild false doctrine. I'm not talking about some guy that comes into a place and tries to take it contemporary or lower the standards of anything. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just simply saying that not one person ever prospered having a bad attitude and a sharp tongue towards God's man. By the way, even in small things. Things that a lot of people say, well, that's not that big of a deal. What about them children that was talking to the prophet and said, go up thou bald head. A lot of people would say, well, man, God was pretty hard coming down so harsh on them youngins. I mean, they're just kids. They're just innocent kids. Just innocent. They're just kids being kids, right? I tell you, that's how serious God takes this thing. They joked around with the man of God. They made fun of the man of God. And before the sun set, their lives were over. God sent she-bears out of the woods and ate up every one of them. And so, I'm just simply saying, if you want to prosper, remember Miriam. Remember Miriam. And so, if you're wondering what's the message tonight, the message is what God said to us, all of us. Remember Miriam. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for helping us with it. I pray, Lord, you'd help us all and bless us all. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts for the upcoming Bible conference and all the preaching that we'll be hearing. And I pray that you'll touch every preacher that will preach and you'd use them. And Lord, I pray that you'd take this little portion of Scripture and this simple thought, Lord, and drive it deep into our hearts. Lord, I don't always understand what you're doing or why you ask us to preach the things we preach, but Lord, I know it's what you had on my heart and couldn't get away from it. And so I just pray that you'll take it and use it and bless it. And I pray that your will would be done in our lives. Lord, we want to say that we love you and thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Bless us in the days ahead, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.